Hey, I'm Curious City reporter Adriana Cardona Magigal. If you're a long-time Curious City listener, and I mean really long-time listener, then you might recognize this music. It's our original theme song. I haven't been here that long. It's just been a year for me officially with the team, but I have reported on stories in the past, and I've been listening forever. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to do a bit of a tribute to our former self, our OG self, because this year Curious City turned 10 years old. We're going to celebrate our anniversary, including sitting down with the brain behind this show that you help us make, Curious City's creator, Jennifer Brandel. This week, we'll take you back to that very first year with a couple of our original listener questions and Curious City answers. To Jen and her team's credit, it's amazing how timeless these stories are and how they take listeners on an exploration of our own city and region through stories that surprise and connect us to one another. You're still sending us great questions today, and we're still discovering this place we call home. Just ahead, Jennifer Brandel and Curious City's first multimedia producer, Logan Jaffe, bring you tales of our region's critters, from flying bats to scurrying lizards. What's hanging out in your backyard? You might be surprised to learn about your flying or four-legged neighbors. Look up, look down, but most importantly, stay tuned.
WBEZ is supported by Chicago Humanities, presenting live events with historians Doris Kearns Goodwin and John Meacham, comedian Reggie Watts and filmmaker Miranda July, and artists Hebrew Brantley and Amanda Williams in conversation. Plus, MSNBC chief correspondent Ali Velshi on small yet powerful acts of courage throughout history. Tickets for these events and more conversations on arts, culture, and current affairs at chicagohumanities.org.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Okay, so before we get into this set of classic Curious City pieces, I just want to remind you that they are 10 years old, so some of the exact numbers you'll hear may have changed. But here in Chicago, the odd variety of urban wildlife and the stories surrounding them remained very much the same.
I'm multimedia producer Logan Jaffe.
And I'm senior producer Jennifer Brandel. So we got a question from Rory Keene. He was in Chicago's downtown loop, just strolling along.
And I was heading towards the lakefront.
He was right at Dearborn and Adams, then out of nowhere.
It was really a bizarre turn of events.
He looked down and
lo and behold, I saw this kind of tawny brown lump on the sidewalk.
And he wasn't quite sure what to make of it.
At first I thought someone had discarded their fried chicken or whatever.
But as he got closer,
I saw it twitch real quick, and next thing I knew it grew wings and it was flying, right around my ankles and then right past my face.
And quickly he realized that was not someone's fried chicken.
It was a bat.
Which prompted Rory to ask Curious City this question.
How did a bat get in the loop? How many of them are down here? And where are their favorite hangouts?
Lucky for all of us, the Urban Wildlife Institute at the Lincoln Park Zoo has been studying where bats hang out around Chicago.
And researcher Liza Lair says it's unlikely bats spend much of their time in the loop.
I think skyscrapers in the loop are probably not areas that they're really using. They're probably hanging out downtown, flying over it, eating all the insects that they can out of the parks and using that space, but they're probably not actually roosting in those areas.
Lair guesses there could be up to 1,000 bats in the loop, but that's just a guess because the study actually avoided downtown. So Rory's question is basically unanswerable, and it's likely the bat Rory saw downtown was just on a lunch break.
But we did learn other spots where bats most definitely live. For their study, the Urban Wildlife Institute selected 18 sites to monitor in the Chicago area. Most of the sites were in Cook and Kane County forest preserves and golf courses. But they also looked in the city. right at the Lincoln Park Zoo's Nature Boardwalk.
And the idea was to look at how bats are using our urban environment, where do we find them, where do we have the most species diversity, and how does that change in the landscape.
And we should mention, bats aren't the easiest creatures to study. To do it right, you need special bat-detecting technology. So we bring our question-asker Rory over to the bat lab at the Lincoln Park Zoo one day to check it out, with some help from a bat expert.
The bat expert?
Yeah, she's a chiroptologist. Is that what
I think that's what it is.
Chiroptology. Yeah. Who devotes their life to chiroptology?
Hi! Hi!
That would be Julia Kilgore, another bat researcher at the zoo.
This is our question asker, Rory.
Oh, hi. Rory tells her the story of that time he nearly stepped on a bat.
It was definitely furry and maybe auburn red. Mm-hmm.
And Kilgore's already able to identify it.
So that was an eastern red bat. Eastern red bats are a migratory species. It's quite possible that, like many birds, they're flying over Lake Michigan and hanging out in Chicago for a while, and then continuing on their migration southward. We actually heard them, got recording calls of them flying around the zoo, so we know that they are at least this close to the loop.
Kilgore explains how they record bat calls to figure out the species and their activity.
I can show you a detector. It's not a glamorous piece of machinery. These are basically really fancy microphones that we stick into the sky.
These slender black mics are special and expensive because they only pick up
ultrasonic frequencies, so pitches of sound that are above human hearing. So as the bats are flying overhead and they're echolocating as they go, these microphones are picking up all of their calls and recording them.
Echolocating is how bats navigate the world, by sound, not so much sight. So they bounce their vocalizations off of objects
and listen for the echo
to gauge their surroundings. The zoo uses these special mics to identify bats around our area.
Each species sort of has their own kind of song. It's a very simple song, but it's essentially a song. And just by the notes that they're singing, we can tell which kind of species it is.
Researchers can take the recordings and shift the bat call frequencies into ranges that human ears can detect. Here are some examples. This is the sound of a hoary bat.
This is a silver-haired bat.
And here's what a big brown bat sounds like.
Okay, so based on all the recordings and research done around golf courses and forest preserves and the Lincoln Park Zoo, here's what they've learned so far. Chicago golf courses are popular bat hangouts, particularly for the common hoary bat and the tiny eastern pipistrelle. And there's lots of bat activity in local forest preserves, too. Eastern red bats, silver-haired bats, and evening bats all hang out there. And the zoo's Liza Lair says some species, like the big brown bat, hang out almost anywhere, maybe even right upstairs.
Certainly they like older buildings. I've heard that they like old churches, barns, things like that. So Bucktown, Wicker Park area, but I'm sure anywhere all around the city where they can use those spaces, they're probably using them.
To Lehrer, any sign of bat life is a good one. There are two big reasons she's encouraged by finding so many bats around here. The first is bats are insectivores, so they eat a lot of insects, including mosquitoes. And that other reason?
What's really exciting about what we found so far is all seven species that you would find in northeastern Illinois are actually using very urban Cook County, like living right here in Chicago, is really exciting. And especially that some of those species are the species that are affected directly by white nose syndrome.
White nose syndrome. It's a fungal disease that affects bats when they're hibernating. It's spread to millions of bats and has already killed millions too. Sometimes white nose will kill 98% of bats in a given location. That means finding so many bats living around our area, well, Lair sees it as a relief.
But what's Rory's take? Remember, he had that freaky moment where he almost stepped on a bat. You know, bats are a scary animal to many people, but do you think it's scarier to not have them potentially around?
I see where you're going with this. Yeah, when you come across something really puzzling, like white nose syndrome is, that's alarming. If it spells the end for bats, it's going to throw things out of balance for us. You know, what we've done is impressive in one regard, but could it have all worked out without the contributions of even these tiny, erratically flying, illogical mammals that we call bats? No.
You can learn more about Chicago's bat populations, white-nose syndrome, and even play around with an interactive graphic we made of some popular bat hangouts around the city.
Seriously, check out the graphics. Logan basically broke the internet to make them.
Sorry.
That's at wbez.org/curious city.
After the break, Jen and Logan track down the place that has the most biodiversity in the Chicago area. You'll be surprised to find out where it is. Stay with us.
WBEZ is supported by Chicago Humanities, presenting live events with historians Doris Kearns Goodwin and John Meacham, comedian Reggie Watts and filmmaker Miranda July, and artists Hebrew Brantley and Amanda Williams in conversation, plus MSNBC chief correspondent Ali Velshi on small yet powerful acts of courage throughout history. Tickets for these events and more conversations on arts, culture, and current affairs at chicagohumanities.org.
So, Rory Keene is not the only one wondering about local critters. Aaron Dernbaugh is the Director of Sustainability at Loyola University. He's got another question about the Chicago habitat.
What part of the city has the most biodiversity? So, the most diversity of plants, the animals, and bird species.
So, here's the short answer.
The honest answer is that you can't be sure.
That's Greg Spirius. He's a botanist and plant ecologist with the Illinois Natural History Survey.
Nobody has counted every single plant and animal in the Chicago area and said, this area here has this many species of all these different types, for sure.
So we can't be sure, but Greg tells us how to make an educated guess. Look for a large piece of land with a lot of habitat variety.
So based on size and variety, we settle on a park on the southeast side of Chicago called Powderhorn Prairie and Marsh.
So we're sitting in the Chicago Lake Plain, which is sort of a flattened area that was formerly the lake bed of Lake Michigan.
This guy is Chip O'Leary.
And why we're here is this site really has tremendous biodiversity.
What's funny is that this area doesn't seem promising. Trains roll by, there are smokestacks on the horizon. It's very industrial. But Chip says the surrounding industry is actually one of the reasons why this area became a park in the first place.
It had industry happening, but industry would buy big tracts of land, and they didn't develop all those tracts.
So this part of Chicago ended up being protected in a way because it was owned but not used.
Powderhorn Prairie is big, around 130 acres. But does it have that habitat variety that Greg Spirius told us about? It turns out the answer is yes, thanks to the magic of dune and swale topography here by Lake Michigan.
So as the waves came in, they would push up a little bit of sand and create this long, linear stretch of sand. And it would create these dunes. They're only about 3 to 5 feet high.
In the valley of the dunes, there's swampy wetland habitat that's called swale. On top of the dunes, there's a dry prairie habitat. This rare combination of environments makes for tons of biodiversity. Depending on the season, there's between 40 and 100 bird species at Powderhorn and about 200 plant species.
Lowland hog peanut, tickle grass, common water horehound,
spreading dog bean,
white snake root.
There's also prickly pear cactus, if you can believe it.
In addition to cactus, there are a few other things you might not expect out here, but there's a few lizards that really only survive in these sort of small sand pockets throughout this part of the Midwest.
Lizards, cactus, Chicago? Who'd have thought?
Or even better, what does Aaron Dernbaugh think? Remember, he got us strapping on our boots to find out about biodiversity in the first place.
You know, we're not some other generic place in the world. We are Chicago. We're this land of prairies and wetlands and Lake Michigan, and that's also just as much a part of who we are as the stockyards, as the city of Big Shoulders.
That's a pretty big idea. Biodiversity as a point of civic pride, just like Chicago's skyscrapers, its pizza, its neighborhoods.
And it's one more reason to get outside and look around. Just be careful not to step on a cactus.
Or get pooped on by a bat.
I think it's called guano.
Guano wrap it up?
Yes.
By the way, Chip O'Leary, one of the experts we spoke with, was an ecologist, formerly with the Forest Preserves of Cook County. This week's episode of Curious City was produced 10 years ago by, well, the original crew, Jennifer Brandel, Logan Jaffe, and Shauna Lee, who edited the show. On our next episode, we speak with Curious City's creator, Jennifer Brandel, as we look back on a decade of stories based on the idea that listeners should have a more direct say in what the media covers, an idea that she took across the country and around the world.
We've worked with more than 250 newsrooms around the world, and that means we have hundreds of thousands of great questions and so many, like, thousands and thousands of great stories that have resulted.
By the way, if you have a question about Chicago or the region that you've been dying to find the answer to, but haven't yet asked us, head over to our website to pose your query. We're at wbc.org/curiouscity. Curious City is supported by the Conan Family Foundation. It's produced by Joe Deso and Jason Mark. Maggie Sivet is our digital and engagement producer, and JP Swanson is our Luminary Fellow. Johanna Sorn edits the show. I'm Adriana Cardona Magigad. Thanks for listening.
You know, as Herzog might put it in one of these forthcoming documentaries that I'm sure it's on his plate, the world of the bat, it's both primordial and dark. Their eyes are not attuned to the same sensations that we as human beings have. And thus, cloaked in darkness, they go on with their lives, oblivious, but sated by a night's hunt with the gnats and mosquitoes. I don't know.
So good. Oh my God. Are you his ghostwriter?
Sometimes you just need a quick overview of the news.
Meantime, it was chaos today at the Chicago City Council.
A Chicago cop with a controversial past is running for judge.
Other times, you're looking for a deeper understanding of what's going on in the city.
Wow, that's so... No one has asked me that question.
The Rundown Podcast has all of that, and it's Chicago-based, so you know what's up in your neighborhood and across town. Listen to The Rundown wherever you get your podcasts or at wbez.org/rundown.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.